Hey, Bill and Gunn, and welcome to Black Law Tribal Edition. Murumu here with you today. We've got Ganyara and Yurilim in the studio. I think Bumi's out and about working on the roads and looking after country, as he does. And wherever you are listening to this program, I hope you're doing well. And the idea of this program is to provide, I guess, information and education on sovereignty and the definitions of sovereignty, which is different to Australian sovereignty, we might say, but similar in many ways tribal groups and law and things like that. And today we'll kick off, we're going to be looking at welcome to country ceremonies and how some Australians are a little bit cheesed off with it. And in particular, we'll go to Sky News, who often provide a number of Indigenous-specific subject matter. And over the weekend, I think it was, Chris Kenny was talking to Pauline Hanson, who seemed offended, obviously, by the Welcome to Countries. Let's take a listen to this.
I wrote in that paper on the weekend, there's been a resurgence of controversy over welcomes to country. Now, as I've often said here, and as I wrote on the weekend, sometimes they're overdone and sometimes they're overly political and sometimes they're just too long and boring. But done in the right way, at the right time, I think they're great. I think they're inclusive, educational and all that. But what I can't really understand is why people got angry about the particular ceremony that prompted the latest round of acrimony. It was at the AFL final between the Giants and the Lions the weekend before last. Have a listen.
I'm here this evening to perform a ceremony of welcome to country. A welcome to country is not a welcome to Australia. Within Australia, we have many Aboriginal lands and we refer to our lands as country. So it's always a welcome to the lands you're gathered on. A welcome to country is not a ceremony that we've invented to cater for white people. It's a ceremony we've been doing for 250,000 years plus BC, and the BC stands for before Cook.
Yeah, now I thought that was terrific, but others didn't. Let me bring in Pauline Hanson, who wants people to turn their backs on welcomes to country ceremonies. So thanks for joining us again, Pauline. What didn't you like about that particular welcome to country?
Oh, come on, Chris. He says, for the starters, 250,000 years. When I was growing up, it was 20,000, then 40,000, then 60,000, 65,000.
Yeah, we know that's rubbish. We know that.
Now, 250,000. OK, yeah. Stop exaggerating and telling people this.
Fair
There's
point.
Another thing there. It's not there for the white people, all right? Well, who the hell am I? I'm sick of the racist connotations all the time. We can't say anything about it. I'm called a racist if I criticise anything to do with Aboriginality. And yet, you know, to make these comments, and I was born here, for Christ's sake. Where's my connection to the land? Why do I have to acknowledge that they were here and respect elders past, present and emerging? You don't respect people because you've got to tell them that people have to earn respect. I think it's divisive. I'm offended by it. I'm sick of hearing about it. I think it's tokenistic, and it was actually not a common thing at the time. A lot of the tribes fought with each other. They didn't welcome each other to the country.
Now, you know, I really think that you and many others, in relation to this particular welcome to country ceremony by Brendan Kerin, have completely misunderstood what he was saying. Now, I've never spoken to him. I don't know the bloke. But what he was saying there, he was hitting back at this divisiveness where people say, I don't need to be welcomed into my own country. He's saying, no, that's not what the ceremony is. The ceremony is not Aborigines saying, welcome to white people to Australia. He's saying that country means the various areas of Australia. And it's a welcome to everyone, a brown, white, black, brindle, whoever's here at this footy game or this meeting, welcome to this particular country. We call this country Gadigal land of Organa land. He's actually explaining that to people, and I think so many people have taken the opposite meaning from it.
Chris, when you actually land and they say this is the land of such and such a tribe, that's going back, what, over a couple of 250 years ago. We've got to move on from there. Just say it every time. The politicians get up and they say it one after another. You know, I hear from people and corporations that they've got to say it on a Teams meeting, council meetings, everywhere like this. You know, people are just fed up. They're over it. I talk to people out in the street. I actually get on my Facebook page. People are over it. This is my country as well. Make me feel welcome as well.
Yeah, but I'm on a unity ticket with you there, right? Because I wrote in my article about how I jumped on a bus to the airport in Melbourne and I get a welcome to country. And when you go to a function where there's you have an Indigenous person do a welcome, then every speaker who gets up, 10 of them in a row afterwards, feel they need to do the same thing. I mean, I think there's too much of it. I think sometimes it's right out of context. But in this case, and I think it's really important because so many people have attacked this, his point is saying it's not about welcoming white people to Australia. It's not welcome to the country of Australia. It's welcome to Gadigal country or Kaurna country or Arunta country. And it's welcome to everybody there, regardless of their colour. So I think it's been misinterpreted. Do you concede when you say people should turn their backs on it? Was that a rhetorical flourish or are you serious? Or you don't concede that there are some events where it's a good thing to have?
At very few events, if they want to have it at Aboriginal conventions or that type of thing, fair enough, but I will not have it and I turn my back on it on the floor of Parliament because I just do not accept it and I am so over it and I feel I'm just so offended by this because they're not willing to acknowledge that we are Australians here. Even those people that migrated here, we're Australians together, acknowledge us. You know, if we want to do acknowledgement, then acknowledge the men and women that sacrificed their lives defending our freedom and our way of life. That would go down a lot better with most Australians.
Well, you know, we see this different. I agree that it's overdone and sometimes it's too radical, but in the instance that we heard there from Brendan Kieran, it's like, welcome all of us. We're all here to this particular land and let's have a good game. And I find that really good. And I like to know which are the different language groups, which are the different bits of country around Australia, just in terms of history. Just very briefly on another issue while I got a chance, negative gearing and real estate investment taxes. Would you be, and One Nation, be brokering any changes there?
No, not at all. Most of the investments comes from those mums and dads that who are police nurses or those tradies that actually go and put investment. If we took them out of the market, we wouldn't have the investment properties there. Also, Fennell Albanese wants to do something about it, cut back on immigration and stop foreign ownership of our housing in Australia. That would address the matter and take off the GST off the building of houses, which about 40-45% of new houses is GST.
Spot on, Pauline. You nailed all the key points in about 30 seconds. Thanks for joining us again. I appreciate it. Pauline Hanson there, the One Nation founder and leader.
And that was an interesting conversation. The second part of the Sky News contribution today is an interview with Rita and Rowan, who are, I can't remember the name of the program on Sky News, but they're talking with someone who's a bit more, I would say, in the know of the law than Pauline Hanson, and a woman by the name of Lana Kolaris, who's from the, who was with or is with the Victorian Bar Association, who also has objections to Welcome to Countries. Take a listen to this.
Barrister Lana Kolaris from the Victorian Bar. She's up here in Sydney in the studio. I'm thrilled to have her with us. Lana was recently denounced, wait for it, as a racist, because she chose not to do the Welcome to Country at a meeting of the Victorian Bar Council. Lana elected to instead acknowledge, as I was saying earlier, all Australians. She is now doubling down on her criticism of those Welcome to and Acknowledgement ceremonies. Lana, great welcome to Outsiders. Great to have you here. Thanks for coming up to Sydney. Now, incredible bravery you showed. I mean, you would think you could speak your mind freely in Australia, but particularly you spoke up against what you saw as something you didn't want to participate in. Tell us about that day and arriving at that decision, and then also tell us what it's been like since.
Yes, well, thank you so much for having me here, Rowan and Rita. The reason why I decided to acknowledge all Australians that day is because I'd had enough of this implicit ceding of sovereignty before every meeting, before every Zoom meeting, every time we land on a Qantas flight. And I'd had enough and I just wanted to make a stand against it and exercise my right to free speech to do so.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned sovereignty, because that, for me, is the key issue. And you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Now, I don't know what area of law you specialise in, but you've pinpointed the very problem for me. Every time we are doing a welcome to country or an acknowledgement of country, implicit in that is the idea that sovereignty as it exists in the law doesn't exist, that it's a fraud and that sovereignty, quote, was never ceded and it always was and always will be some other form of land. Is that what bothers you the most?
That's exactly what bothers me. It's the constant repetition of this message that is being given to us that sovereignty does not exist within the Crown in some way. And that's what I've got an issue with. It's wrong in law and it's wrong in fact as well. And that's why I decided to make a stand. And I posted the minutes on social media and I got a fairly predictable personal attack levelled towards me. And that's what made me think, you know, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to express my views clearly in writing. And that's what I did.
Rita.
Excellent. And how does this philosophy, because it is very prevalent within the legal fraternity, and that worries me greatly, because you see it on the bench, you see it elsewhere. How does it impact the law? Because you talked about hearing about a client who was feeling like the justice system wasn't what he expected it to be because of these manipulations or these undermining of what we expect to be the law for everyone, unquestionably. Like, whoever you are judged the same regardless of who you are and what your background is.
Well, that's right. The fundamental guiding principle of our constitution today is equality of citizenship. Mm. And if you're going to take a stand that's different to that by making these repeated acknowledgements of country, which repeatedly chip away at that sovereignty, then I think Australians have an instinct and they know that something is not quite right and they understand that there is a political push behind this. Mm. And when you're in a situation where courts are actually acknowledging country and do not acknowledge the Crown, I think people understand that there's some kind of political infiltration there.
Yeah.
And that's what makes people... Perhaps it's contributing to the lack, the loss of confidence that people are having in the legal system.
I think there certainly is this lack of trust in our institutions increasingly, including the justice system in general. This view is very much amongst the elite, as we call it. But if you speak to the average Australians, I would bet money on this, that the overwhelming majority are sick of this. They don't see a place for it. They see it as divisive, but they're the ones who are least likely to speak up.
Gentlemen, I guess the interesting thing there is we have one who is an expert in the law, and one who operates within that sphere in Parliament House. Ganyara, interesting that Welcome to Countries are attracting so much objection these days.
Yeah, look, you're right when you said the two worlds are there. One is, you know, like Senator Hanson, she's part of the lawmaking system, you know, the Parliament House, where they agree on legislation to be passed. And then the barrister, which is Lana, she's on the bar, she's on the other side now, where he's got to go and argue the law that Pauline Hanson had partaken in. So, you know, it's an interesting mix when you stop and look at it. But with that, there's a profound lack of understanding on both of their parts as to really what's going on. Even the lawmaking part, they should have a full knowledge of what's happening, how it all works. And the barrister applying the law should also have full knowledge of what the law is all about and how it applies to whom and what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing that Lana Kalaris was saying, that she was sort of defending Australia's ceding sovereignty every time the Welcome to Country ceremony would take place, and that she was concerned about that was happening in Victoria. But, I mean, obviously it happens up here as well, and lots of acknowledgements, lots of court acknowledgements, things like that. But the world hasn't fallen apart as we know it yet.
Give it time and it may fall apart, but In saying that, people have got to understand what sovereignty is, because they all mention the word sovereignty. And what is it really, you know? Sovereignty is something that every human is born with. Every human has a right to be upon this earth, to enjoy it to its fullest and maximum. And then you take part, you participate in a society, and you surrender some of your God-given sovereignty, your God-given right, to participate through a legal identity created by a certain society. And this is what both of them aren't understanding. Pauline Hanson said she's born here. She's born here. Yep, okay, Pauline, you are born on this great land called, you know, what the modern world called Australia. But you're born into the Commonwealth of Australia. You are participating. You've handed up some of your God-given rights to participate in the life of the Commonwealth of Australia, because you are now a senator. You had a fish and chip shop. You were getting using the money. You had all the benefits of it. So, yes, you must be bound by the law. The barrister, Lana, once again, yes, she's an Australian citizen, so she's handed up some of her God-given rights to participate in the life of the Commonwealth of Australia as now a barrister, you know. So that's well and good. But hang on, we're all humans, and we all weren't born into the Commonwealth of Australia. When Australia come here, you know, the modern Australia was formed, they actually excluded the Aboriginal people. So their sovereignty, their God-given right to hand up power and authority to someone or something, is still there. It hadn't been taken away. And they always handed up a little bit of their sovereignty, their God-given right, to the local tribe, which what we want to call the Yidinji government in this instance here.
And furthermore, I mean, you know, in 1986, you know, all the sovereignty that Australia did have was from its parent, Britain, let's say. But that was removed in 1986. And so what is there now? What kind of sovereignty do they have? Is it secure? And has there been settlement?
Well, the interesting part of that is the sovereignty as British subjects up until 1986 with the enactment of the Australia Act 86, the Australian one. They enacted it over in the UK, then the Queen flew out here and enacted it here as the Australian, you know, Queen of Australia, not the Queen of the UK, by the way. So, you know, this is all acting, it's all paperwork. But the British, when they first come, this is one of the very few places on earth that they didn't do a deal with the local mob to say, look, can we come here? Can we come onto your country? Can we be here? And that raised a really important point, because are the Australians really welcome on our country? Truly, 100%. Can they honestly look you in the eye and say, yeah, we feel welcome on your country, don't we?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, the very fact that people know that there's no treaty, because everyone's talking about a treaty, even New South Wales, they're talking about a treaty now and things like that. That means there isn't one. So how can sovereignty be secure if there's no agreement? Yirrkala, it's just a crazy situation that whether you're, you know, an intelligent person or not, it seems to be confusing everyone inside of Australia.
And intentionally to a large degree, because the smoke and mirrors that we often see within the courts, and yeah, it's so often explained. I'll get the right wording here from our Attorney General. How do they describe it when a case or a land court case is passed? How does the judge describe it? He's not giving anything, is he?
No, absolutely not. They make it very clear, very, very known, that we're actually going to give you nothing. You come here today to get evidence only and nothing more, nothing less, you know. And that's what it's all about. The federal government, under Article 27 of UNDRIP, the UN Declaration of Rights for Indigenous People, it says the country must acknowledge the existing law structures of a nation, of an Indigenous nation whose land you're upon. You know, so they're actually doing that. So native title is Article 27 in action. It's in play. But that still doesn't move sovereignty. The sovereignty still retains in those people who give it up to the society until the society is conquered and destroyed, normally by war, conquest, or they've ceded it by signature to treaty and they've given it to Britain, for example. But that's all well and good. So our sovereignty still is intact. It's unceded, unextinguished. They can't get rid of it until we get rid of it.
That's right. We've been here for a million years.
Someone said 250 there. It was 20,000 years.
I think we're going to go a million now. This is a modern age now. You have billions and trillions. So I think Aboriginal people have been here for a million years. We can start that again, hashtag 1 million years. But anyway, I think in reality, let's bring it back down to reality, there is this issue of settlement and that needs to be taken place. So if Australia is sovereign, then why did it sign UNDRIP? Why did it say that all peoples have a right to nationality and things like that? It doesn't make sense to me that her peers, who were legal experts, signed these instruments at international law saying that Yidinji has a right, Kunganji has a right, Jabbagai, whatever it is, have a right to self-government, autonomy and all this other stuff.
Well, remember I said the human gives up his God-given sovereignty because every human has the right, all equal, we're all equal on this earth, we're born, we live, we die on this earth, we stay here. So we all have this equal right, but we give up some of our sovereignty to take part in society. Maybe some of our Yidinji one, our people, haven't ceded their, some of their sovereignty to the Commonwealth of Australia, which means they can cede their sovereignty to the Yidinji nation, for example. So we have this right to give up some of our God-given rights. And some people do, some people don't. But some people take part in Australia, some people take part in Yidinji, some in both worlds. But we've got to understand this. It's our right, and this is what there was a High Court case about, that you give up some of your rights. So Pauline and Lana have given up some of their rights to participate in Australia. But Australia itself doesn't have the deal to be on our country. We were here first with our law. And it's always been that way, whether you want to call it 20,000 years, 40,000, 60,000, 1 million, it's irrelevant. We were first and it's still here. And this is the important part with law, and the barrister should know this. She should know this. First in time is normally best in law. If it's still there, it's normally best in law, like our land titles are still here. How did Australia get land titles over this place? We rang them about that, by the way, going back 10 or 12 years. They said, well, we sort of just took the place. Hang on, it's stolen. It's stolen. You took our place and sold it off. You can't do that, you know. So we still retain all our land titles, to which Australia has an issue with. And that highlights the 1986 issue. When the UK left through the Australia Act, all the land titles prior to that date had the lion and unicorn stamp on it. You know, the British Royal Arms stamp on the land title. They were the ones that they issued when they came here. Well, when Australia became independent on its own, retained its own sovereignty there, they had to change the land title systems over there. The states issue land titles, and Queensland, for example, has the Brolga and the Brolga and the reindeer on it. Totally different mob. So, but they had to take all their English stuff back home. And the colonies still exist over there. The colony of Queensland is still alive in the UK where it was created.
Is that the reindeer part?
That's the reindeer part. Not, you know, there's one for here and there's a reindeer from over there because we don't naturally have reindeers here. But, you know, people don't understand this stuff, and that barrister should. And actually Pauline should, because she's making law that barrister has to go and argue in a court that's got the Australian coat of arms on it, you know, the kangaroo and the emu on it. But that's a whole different world. But our law hasn't gone. We're still here. And that raises the question. Who's on whose country? Are we on Australia or are they on our country? And if they're on our country, are they truly welcome to our country without doing a deal? The massacres, the murders, do we really want to welcome them in? The massacres, you know, those who massacred us, those who murdered us, and those who want to be belligerent and just want to argue that we got no right to practice our law here. Who give them the right? Who give Australia the right to enforce its law upon all the humans? The humans concede some of their sovereignty if they so choose.
I think it's important to, you know, if we could have a conversation with Lana, for example, if she was here in the room, just saying, hey, look, we're here to not to destroy the law, we're here to fulfil it in terms of providing that remedy that their world is obviously suffering from because they've got this sort of internal dispute and conflict going on in their minds as to Black Australia, White Australia. And that's the absolute gift of the Yidinji Nation, 1 million years, to say, hey, look, we're here to look after you because that is the law. It's not about kicking you out and whatnot. But if you don't want to be here, if you don't want to be a guest of this house, then, you know, you'll have to find somewhere else to live.
Yeah, it goes back to that intentional confusion to kick the can down the road so none of this can take place of what Yidinji is doing. And, you know, it's a good example where she spoke about the chipping away at Australia's sovereignty and Australia ceding. But that's where the confusion is. They think that Australia can give some of its sovereignty to Yidinji. And that's the wrong way around. They don't understand first in time.
Yeah, it's the Commonwealth of Australia is the property of the tribes. And that's a fact. At law, what is on your territory is subject to your territory's rule. And that's what they use, as Gignara's pointed out, when the boat people arrive, using those types of things. But anyway, we'll be back after the break. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet. Thanks to our friends at Bumba Bipra Media, 98.7 FM. If you're listening inside this via the National Indigenous Radio Service, we welcome you and thank you for letting us use your airspace. We'll be back after the break.
My whole family immigrants, and the land down under, we became citizens. And no, no, I grew a love for the land that I've been living in. The most cherished memories when I reminisce. But being a foreigner that I am, I keep on trying even more to understand the stories and origins of this land. Pay my respects just cause it's who I am. How can I ignore the history behind it? You must know the desire in me to find it. Let me show you not just how deep my pride is.
I'm Australian, brother, I told you it proudly. I hold the same pride for every culture around me. Acknowledge a nation, people was given this land. Aboriginal, Torres Strait, our indigenous fam. Today I celebrate you, will never switch on my stance. Shake a leg, breaking bread, then let's mix up the plan. A murmur of silence, a whole lot of devastation. We can't forget about the stolen generations. Like, it was like they never even mattered. All their people battered, can't even fathom really how deep it's tragic. Tell me how much would this be traumatic? Have your dreams shattered and if say all of your families were scattered. That's what actually happened to the Aboriginals. The connection that they have with this land and the spiritual. So today is the day I will commemorate it. Because this is the land that you and I were raised in.
My whole family immigrants, and the land and under we became citizens. And no, grew a love for the land that I've been living in. Most cherished memories that I reminisce.
How can I ignore the history behind it? You must know the desire in me to find it. Let me show you not just how deep my pride is.
It's deeper than coral reefs, fuller than moss and peak. Must be the father me. Thank God my father here. He brought us all to eat. He worked the day and night. He brought us over here. And it's a party. Crack a six pack, put some snacks on the barbie. Bender on my mind when my phone got to call it. Had to tell the boss man, Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Come get on the piss, Bob Molly, don't worry. Got my trusty spray just in case of the Aussies. I don't stray your day, I'm a place savage guarded. Hit the bottle low and pick up another bottle. Yeah. And then pick up another one. We kicking on and on. Straight your dick coming gone. Still we gonna run it up. Till we run out of love and the booze and the buzz. And then we carry on. And then we carry on.
My whole family immigrants, yeah. And the land down under we became citizens. And all I grew a love for the land that I've been living in.
Most cherished memories that I reminisce.
How can I ignore the history behind it? You must know the desire in me to find it. Let me show you not just how deep my pride is. The most cherished memories when I reminisce.
Welcome back to the show. Yes, we're talking about Welcome to Countries. Interesting enough that the acknowledgement and Welcome to Countries are probably a little bit different, two different things. One's, people inviting people to have an event, but the acknowledgement means also that, and they're sort of related obviously, but the acknowledgement there's something else here that Australia sort of recognises but doesn't recognise. It's like some guy's got a wife, but he's got a mistress on the side, and doesn't want to really make that known to people, but people know about it, and it's sort of like this really confused or make up your mind type of situation. And Australia has to do that at some point. It has to either marry the tribe through a formal agreement, a wedding, let's say, or go live somewhere else. You can marry China or marry another UN member state for its own protection and longevity.
With a prenuptial,
yeah, absolutely.
Well, people have got to understand how law applies, and that's the most basic fundamental issue with all of this. Now, quite obviously, these two people, Pauline Hanson, Senator Hanson, I'll correct myself, she's in good standing inside the Senate, Senator Hanson and Barrister Collaras, they must know in their own mind that they are not the legal identity created by the state that allows them to participate in the state. They must know that. Surely they must know they're not the legal identity. This is how you participate in Australia or your dinghy or anything else is through an identity. We are humans, just like kangaroos are animals. We're an animal. We're born, we live, we die. So we can't be the identity it's created for us to use to allow us to participate in that world. Now, they said to the blackfellas when they first come here, you know, when Cook, and I like that little bit of from when that bloke was given the welcome to country, he said, before Cook. I love that part. Yep, before Cook, we were here. And we actually knew who was who in the zoo. So we were here first, and we participated in our society. And then Australia or the British said, no, you blackfellas can't take part. Now get out and go home, and we don't want to recognise you, subhuman, whatever else it may be, because at the time of Federation, H.B. Higgins and Isaac Isaacs actually said that the Aboriginal people are a little better than monkeys. They can't cast an intelligent vote. That was, you know, they're not worthy of being inside our new Federation of the states, by the way. And that means they didn't want us. We're still free. We're nothing to do with them. We don't have to participate. They cannot force the human to participate in the life of the state, in the life of the Commonwealth of Australia. We cannot be forced, you know. You can't be forced to be seen through that. No, we've got our own identity because we've got our law that's still here. And these are very important concepts that the barrister should know and Pauline Hanson should learn, you know, before they start spruiking off.
Yeah, well, what is that confusion? Because not just them, they, you know, that they think that they are their identity. It's a lot, isn't it? And it comes back to, I think, very much to the difference with a lot of the tribal nations here, well, every tribal nation here, of that knowing of a spiritual origin. Whereas they think they are the paper.
Well, this is the crazy part about it. They do think they're the paper, and they need education, and they need our education minister to go there and put this to them in a manner that they can understand, because I don't know if they're bright enough to understand what we're actually talking about. So we need our education system there to educate them. But in saying that, we're here to try and work with them. We're trying to help them along. And don't listen to us. Don't listen to our lot. Go and talk to your constitutional experts, those who participated in the Uluru Statement, in the production of that. And there's no fools in amongst that. You know, there's all these professors and doctors and, you know, everything else. Australia's best academic minds were handpicked, by the way, by the Prime Minister and the Leader of the Opposition at the time to go forward and work out what this is all about, sovereignty. And they come back and wrote the Uluru Statement. And they said that sovereignty was not ceded, that it was not extinguished, that we haven't gone away, and that our sovereignty of our nation, our Yidinji nation, coexists with the sovereignty of Australia, because those majority, 97% of Australians have agreed to be seen through, hand up some of their sovereignty, to be seen through the identity inside Australia. Some of us haven't, you know. So this is a very important concept. And their experts need to get to those lawmakers and those administering the law and explain the truth of the matter here right now.
Yeah, I think the other issue is that Australians, whether they like it or not, are part of the international law sphere. And the international community says and supports overwhelmingly that Yidinji can do what it does because it is a tribe and God deemed it that it was here, gave them a language and all that kind of stuff. And so that's a very important thing to realise. English comes from England and we are speaking it right now. But all persons and things are the property of the tribe, so it doesn't matter whether it's language, a piece of paper, or whatnot. The senator and the lawyer, their personalities are owned by the tribes of where they reside. So this is a very important thing, and if they don't understand that, they do need to go back to preschool. They do need to get uneducated and re-educated done in a way that can be simplified for them, maybe, because if they can't understand or comprehend that this situation, then, you know, guess what? Even Malcolm Roberts and One Nation and or talking about, oh, we don't want a digital ID and this, that and the other. Guess what? You're getting one whether you like it or not, because you subscribe to that international law, and international law is dictating that, yes, we agree that this is going to be a social norm all around the world and you're going to use it, and you're going to use an Australian one. But Yidinji has its own, and we'll use ours, thanks, And our laws are different to the laws of Australia. And our digital ID and our money and everything else is backed 100% by the sovereignty of this place here called Yitti or Gimoy.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm glad you brought it up, the international stuff. Because now we're going to talk about quality of international actors, who the international citizens are. Now, Australia, Commonwealth of Australia, is an international citizen of the UN member states. It is one of those people of the UN world. It is a member. But it's a manifestation of colonialism. Now, it's a terrible member. It's probably one of the most corrupt members ever because it doesn't want to agree with international norms and laws. Yidinji has a higher standing than Australia does by far, just by us trying to offer something to Australia. Now, Australia as a manifestation is acting contrary to the charter of the UN, the very UN that recognises Australia as a member state. So they don't want to agree by, they don't want to play by the rules. They want to go and do it their own way. And they want to be this, how could you say, the baddie, you know, the naughty one. And they are the naughty ones because they won't go and break up this manifestation of colonialism. It had to come to a speedy and unconditional end, by the way, 64 years ago. We're over half a century and they're still misbehaving. And they still didn't want to come and talk to the table. We've been trying to talk to Australia about this properly. Let's settle this past. Let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of this manifestation. Do a deal with the local mobs and you will be here. You will not have to do a welcome to country anymore because you will be welcome through the treaty. You don't have to go with all this other rot now and welcome to country. Oh, you know, acknowledgement of country. No, you're welcome. This treaty says you will be welcome. As long as you abide by the terms and conditions of the treaty and the minute you breach them, you won't be welcome. And then the UN member states will have to send the Security Council in to pull Australia up. And we will have the right, by the way, and we still have the right to go and do a deal with whoever we like, be it People's Republic of China, be it the United States, be it the UK, be it Canada, be it anyone. It's our right.
And the irony is lawyers told us that. you're my Lana. Gnyara, thank you for those comments. Yirlam, it's frightening to think, you know, in our lifetime, when the US was invading Iraq, there was a guy called Comic Ali. They called him Comedy Ali, who, even though the US were in Baghdad, he kept maintaining the line and the position, the state position. They're not here yet. It's all lies. They're not here yet. And here we are, people living sort of like an Egyptian, like living in denial. And this is where it's bordering on craziness, really.
Absolutely. And, you know, like we'll go back to Gnyara's statements of the human being, you know, everybody having a God-given sovereignty and then making a choice of what identity they want to be. And, you know, like if I choose, let me look at the benefits of choosing Australia. You know, if I choose Australia, well, you know, if I meet a person or someone else and you sort of get a feeling for their integrity. You know, are they honest? You know, have they got a lot of skeletons in the closet? And if they have they have the courage to bring them out and, you know, talk to you about them and say, no, like I've learned from these mistakes. So, you know, come to our side. We're pretty good now. We've learned it. So that's not the case with Australia. Let's look at Yidinji. Would I choose Yidinji? You know, Yidinji has been absolutely treated with such terrible malice from the invasion of colonization. And yet here we are, well, for Yidinji, it's only 150 years later, that we are still offering peace. And so if I look at Yidinji, would I choose Yidinji? Oh, hands down. You know, this is the place where you want to be, where there is love and integrity and the things that really count for, you know, the world moving forward and mostly, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's really important that people get that position because that's what the Intertribal Foreign Affairs Council Forum was all about, was bringing back all the tribes together to really work together to convey that information that, you know, there are people inside of Australia who support the tribes. And I would say a majority of the new generation of the legal fraternity too, Gnyara. I mean, we've seen that at the ANU and other places where there's an absolute admiration for the law, and once people realise they see it from a different perspective, it adds value to their position.
It's the truth of the law. That's the issue. They're not being told the whole truth. You can lie by not telling the whole truth, you know, leave out a little important part like there is no treaty or we didn't want the Aboriginal people in or they have the right to go back to their law. They've got all this stuff and they're leaving that out. And this is what creates the problem with all this animosity between the barristers and Pauline Hanson and all that and those, you know, and the Aboriginal people. They're frowning at the Aboriginal people because they've got to do a welcome to country. Hang on. Let's have a look at historical facts. Were the Aboriginal people ever welcome inside Australia? No, they stole the kids for a start. You know, those who weren't of full blood were stolen. They call it the stolen generation. I think that's a bit of a tarnish on Australia's history. They stole the wages. Oh, you mean the stolen wages episode? They didn't respect the Aboriginal people. They weren't welcome inside Australia, yet Australia plundered its people and the people and all sort of stuff there. So there is, you know, the shoe on the other foot now. It's coming the other way and they don't like it as much, you know. So hang on a sec. Let's just stop all the rot. Let's come back to where we were. And, you know, you said ANU. I'm glad you mentioned that again because at ANU last year it was told Yidingi is correct in what it's doing. Now, this is from the law school, by the way. Down there they said Yidingi is correct. 100%, no ifs, no buts, no argument. We're right with what we're doing. And that's why we're now coming forward. Who has what to offer to who? As Yirralum said there, you know, how can Australia offer us a treaty? What have they got to actually offer in a treaty? We're going to offer up our land. We're going to offer up access to our land, the right to be here. It's not the land per se itself, but there's going to be certain terms and conditions, and we've got to offer the treaty to them, not the other way around. They can do nothing for us because we can bring the Chinese in to protect us or we can bring the Americans in to protect us. We don't need Australia to protect us. They need the right to be here to look after, and that's what a treaty is all about. We'll let the Australians be here pursuant to these terms and conditions, and one will be defend the territory. We don't have to raise a standing army. We don't want to. We don't need to. That's Australia's role. If you read Article 5 of UNDRIP, you go and read that. People won't read this document because it's too frightening. It appears to be a suicide document of a nation. But we've got every right to revitalise all our institutions whilst we have a right to participate in the life of the state, if we so choose, which brings about the question, what if we don't so choose?
Yeah, one of the interesting comments I heard Rita say that there's a lack of trust in the institutions, and that is a huge admission by her standards because there is no trust, which means it's collapsed. The only way that these things can be trustworthy if people and nations rather like Yidingi and their government come forth with a remedy with honour and integrity. I think that's a very important consideration that the tribes should undertake. But, you know, at the end of the day, if they choose, they can do whatever they like. And it may not be in Australia's favour, for example, as we've said here on many occasions. Obviously, people we know that are the Protection of the Commonwealth of Australia Act, for example, was one of the very first of our Parliament. When people understand what we're all about, I think there is no argy-bargy. I mean, you can walk down the street relatively here and no one's having a go at you. It's a bit different if I was yelling and screaming and packing back to Britain or New Zealand or wherever they're from. You know, it's different. It's inclusive here. It's welcoming. It is the solution to the whole problem.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we'll be back after the break with some final comments. You're listening to Black Law Tribal Edition right across the planet today, thanks to the Yidingi Broadcast Service. If you're listening inside of Australia, it's via the National Indigenous Radio Service. We'll be back after the break. Rightio, some final comments. Yirralum, we'll start with you first. Some observations and maybe some other things that are happening around the place.
Yeah, now, well, I thought today's topic was great because, you know, to listen to that, I didn't get to catch that when it was live and direct. It was we watched it today, the welcome to country that was given at the AFL preliminary final, and how true the words are. And it is quite a shock for a lot of people, and people are living with their heads in the sand, unfortunately. And when they do decide to pull it out, you know, and look at a treaty or a contract, a marriage as it was spoken, it's an agreement basically. And I think that you can see that the Yidinji offer stands well heads above everything else.
Yes, Ganyara.
And look, I'll add on to that. We're doing this for not one Australian dollar. It's costing us a lot of time, effort and money to do this, but we haven't got our hand out saying, you put money in my hand, I'm doing this for money. We're doing this the other way around, actually. We want to offer connection, by the way, to our Yidinji dollar, you know, what we talk about, the digital dollar. We want to offer connection to that so we can continue the underwriting that they mentioned in the Mabo case. You know, the Australia was built on the back of Aboriginal people. The Aboriginal people underwrote Australia. Let's continue that to let Australia be here. But, you know, do they really want that? I'm really struggling to see where they're going, you know, with all this argument. They need to educate people a bit more quickly and understand we're doing this for free. We've put a lot of time and effort at this to get a treaty in place to let the Australians be here. You know, going to Parliament House that time and all this sort of stuff. We go in, deliver the MOU to a treaty way, you know, 7 years ago. And they're only just talking about treaty in the state now. You know, this sort of stuff. We've been told we're 30 to 40 years ahead of all the other sovereignty movements around Australia. And I can start to see why. And they've got to sort of let the old school die out to let that white mentality go. You know, the younger ones coming up, like we saw at ANU last year at the National Uni, those young students there were brilliant. They could see, once they were told, they saw the other side, they were for it. They were really proactive now, coming into acknowledging the Aboriginal sovereignty, and it's here, and we're going to have to work with it, and we're going to work together, and we'll all be here happily on this place together, unlike other areas in the world, Middle East or the Eastern Europe. I wouldn't want to be in any of those places. We're in a pretty good position here at present, so let's keep this peace and harmony going, and let's understand what we're doing it for.
Yes, that's it for today's program. Thank you for joining us, by the way. Wherever you are listening to this program, I hope you're doing well, and we wish you the best for the rest of the week. And Gaya Barakalan Yundu, may God's peace be upon you wherever you are, and in the almighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, because He is the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. And we'll catch you next week on Black Law Tribal Edition. Big thanks to Bumba Bipra Media 98.7. and our friends at the NIRS. We'll catch you next week. Go. Now that's my beat.